Right, can you decode that for me? Jesus said,
I am the light of the world.
I am the light of the world. That's what we're looking at today. We've been looking at a short series on Jesus' phrases, I am. I am this, I am something else, and we'll look at those. Today, we looked at I am humble before last time. We looked at I am, can you remember what last time was? The bread of life. Yes, I had a job remembering last night, and then I didn't come back yet. Bread of life. Now then, I am the light of the world, is what we're looking at today. So let's have a look at our next picture, please. Yes. Now then, before we get any further into the I am, whatever it is Jesus says, there's something you need to know. When Jesus says, it's in John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. Full stop. Now then, when they heard that, the people that were there picked up stones to kill Jesus. And he said, what are you doing? And he said, because you're claiming to be God. Now, the reason they said that, they understood what Jesus was saying is, because when we have to go right back to the time of Moses and the burning bush. You've heard of the Moses burning bush?
Yes.
Right? The bush kept burning because it wasn't on fire. It was God's presence in it. And Moses goes up to the bush and God tells him to take off his sandals, he's on holy ground, and then he tells Moses he's got a job for him, is to go down to Egypt. And then one of the things Moses asks is, what do I say to the people when they get there? Who shall I say has sent me? Right? What is it? What do I say? And the Lord says, tell them, I am has sent you. It's a good one, isn't it? I am. The name that God gave for himself is I am who I am. Right? And that word I am comes up to mean ultimately the word Yahweh. We use the word Jehovah or Yahweh. That's where the name comes from. It's the I am bit, yes? So that's what God said about himself. I am. Right? I was, I am, and I will be. I am all the time. Right? That's God is eternal. Right? Now then Jesus stands up and says, I am. Right? They get it. He's claiming to be God walking on the earth. Right? They didn't believe it, but they certainly got the message. So, that's what's the back of all these I ams. That God is claiming to be something about himself. There's some lovely passages in the Old Testament worth remembering and studying. Is the names of God. Right? God gives himself different names. Right? There's instances where God says, I'm the God who sees you. Yes? And then, I'm the God who heals you. Right? And he gives himself different names in different situations that apply to the needs of the individual. Yeah? So, and Jesus is taking that up in a way in the New Testament. So, I am the light of the world. Is where we're going to next, please. Right? So, Jesus spoke again to the people. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So, we're going to think about the characteristics of what he means by being light. And one of the things he spells out there is, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. So, following Jesus gives you direction for your life. That's what he's getting at. You want to know where to go, if you know how to live, Jesus is the one to follow. You got it? It's really important, because we live in a world where there is total confusion. Nobody knows what's what, where, than anything else. And it's getting worse. But Jesus says, I'm the light. You want to know where you're going, follow me. That's really important. So he gives us direction. And where's Jesus going to lead you? Is he going to lead you wrong?
No.
He leads you on the right pathways. There's a lovely verse in Psalm 23. David says, the Lord's my shepherd. I'll not need anything. Yes, he leads me in the pathways of righteousness. What's right, what's just, what's good. Yes, well, Jesus is the one that leads us, right? We're going to be looking at Jesus as the shepherd another time. Right, but that's what he's getting at. Next slide, please. Right. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So there's something about light, not just for direction's sake, but I've drawn the contrast there. Do you like that lovely English meadow? Very nice. And the dark woods? Scary. Yeah. Jesus says, he's light, and you won't walk in darkness. There's a difference between light and dark. Bringing in light brings sense of freedom, sense of joy, all of those things. Jesus says, I come to give you things that are wholesome. And again, it's sad to see, isn't it? You hear in the news and see about some of our youngsters, they put stuff into their heads and their bodies that kill them. Yeah? It's darkness. It's destructive. Jesus says, follow me, and the light gets better. All right, light, wholesome, not bugs and unhealthy. Wholesome, good stuff. With Jesus, I am the light of the world. Something good about it. Next thing, please, yeah? Right. Now then, I want to talk about this matter of what Jesus being light is about. And there's two stories I want to illustrate them by. One from the Old Testament and one from the New. And this is one from the Old Testament. It's in 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 17. It's about a prophet called Elisha. Have you heard of Elisha?
Yes.
Now then, Elisha was an amazing fellow. Like, he did a lot of miracles, did Elisha, and quite a few of the miracles Elisha did were sort of introductions to the things that Jesus did, but Jesus did them on a bigger scale. So let's find it's 2 Kings 6. Here we are. And verse 17. Now, well, I better read you a bit before I can give you the idea of that. Now, the king of Aram, that's Syria today, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. Nothing new there, is there? Yes. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up my camp in such and such a place. And the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, the man of God's Elisha. Yes. Beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there. So, what happens is that the king makes his plans to attack Israel and the prophet tells the king what they're going to do. Because he's a prophet. God told him, you see. So, So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God and the time. And then time and again, Elisha warned the king so that there was a guard in such places. This enraged the king of Aram. He was rather miffed that everybody was finding out his plans. There's a mole. But it wasn't a mole. It was Elisha. Right? God had told him. He summoned his officers and demanded, will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Somebody's a spy in here. That's what he's really getting at. None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers. But Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Beware, God knows what you're thinking. Right. Go and find out where he is, the king ordered, so that I can send men and capture him. Isn't that stupid? Yeah. If he's going to plan to capture Elisha, Elisha knows when he's coming. Well, it's great, isn't it? But that's people that don't know God, you see, they get some stupid ideas. Anyway, right, the report came back, he's in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. Then by night, they went by night and surrounded the city. Wouldn't make any difference if they came by day. Still know they're coming, wouldn't they? Right. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. So the servant goes out, opens the windows. Oh, what a beaut! And he sees all these things outside, you know. Chariots all over the place, right? And he goes, oh! Sort of thing like that, anyway, yeah? Right? Oh, my lord! You see, he's got to know it. Oh, my lord! What shall we do, the servant asks. Right, so he's seen all these chariots and everything else. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Right? That's called faith. Yeah. If God's with us, we've got the majority. Yes? Right. Then Elisha prayed. This is verse 17. Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see. Well, he could see, couldn't he? He saw the chariots and all the things. But there's something he didn't see. Right? Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots and fire all around Elisha. And then he went, oh, after that, yes. Right, so there's their chariots, and then surrounding all of them are the chariots of fire. Right? Chariots of fire are better than chariots of wood and metal, yes? So the servant feels a bit more confident, but he hadn't seen it. But now he does. Elisha prayed, opened his eyes. But there's something really interesting that follows on that from that. As the enemy came towards him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike these people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked. Interesting, isn't it? He prays, oh God, make these enemies blind. Could they still see?
Yes. They will have that.
They can see now. But there are some things they can't see. Just like the servant in the opposite direction. Yeah. He could see, but he couldn't see.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Now then, Elisha has prayed, these people, they can see, but they can't see. Mm. They don't recognise Elisha anymore. Yes? So, Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I'll lead you. Next one, please. Yes. Right, this is it, yes. More than meets the eye. He says, this isn't the road, this isn't the city. You've come to the wrong place, fellas. Yes. Let me show you where you should go. Right. Right. And he led them to Samaria, the capital of the kingdom of Israel. Right. After they entered the city, Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of the men so that they can see. Well, they could see. But now, the Lord opened their eyes and they looked. And there they were, inside Samaria, captured. And they now see, understand. Seeing, understanding is what it's about, yes? So now, there's more to it than meets the eye, about seeing. And so, that's the illustration I want to make. When Jesus says he's the light of the world, it's not just about vision. Yes, it's about understanding. Next slide, please. Right, you get the idea. Right, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He can see, but he doesn't get it. Yeah? But he can see, and he's got it. Understanding. Right, that's what it's about. Okay? So, next slide, please. Right, so we look at the second story, which is in the New Testament, and that's the story of a child who was born blind. What does the future hold for a child born blind in those days?
Begging.
So there wasn't any National Health Service or anything else like that. It was so this lad turns up to be a beggar later on in life. Right? Okay, so then let's have a look at the next slide, please. So there's the story of the man in pictures for you. Do you like comics?
Yeah.
This is a comic one, yes, but it's a short story. Let's just go along. I'll give you the gist of it. Jesus goes along and he sees the man born blind. Jesus picks him out. That's interesting. And Jesus sees this man born blind and his disciples say, whose fault was it? They're all going to find fault, you know. Whose fault was it? Was it his? Did he sin? Or was it his parents that he was born blind? Yes? And Jesus says, neither. Wrong. This has happened so that something that God can do will be really seen to be amazing. Yes? So, God's opportunity. So, what did Jesus do? The second picture is... You know, I had a good spit, right? Into the dust and made some mud. Have you ever made mud pies? Lovely stuff to work with mud. Yeah, it is. No, with the spit. Oh, the spit binds it together better. Anyway, Jesus made some mud, yes, and then he stuck it on the man's eyes. I assume he told him what he was going to do before he did it. He put the mud on the man's eyes, and then he told him, go to the pool of Siloam. It was in Jerusalem, one of the special pools where people went, and he said, go and wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Off he goes, so there he is, washing himself, and when he washed himself, what happened? He could see! Right, that's amazing, isn't it? Now that's a physical blindness, but there's more to this man than meets the eye. Which is, if you excuse the pun. Right? And it's not putting your eye either. Okay, next one please. It was a miracle, wasn't it? But it's more than one miracle. Because, on the physical level, it's more than one miracle. Because whatever was wrong with the man, yes, his eyesight wasn't working, so maybe, I assume, God healed the eye, whatever defect he had, or the pathways that lead to his brain. But, I don't know if you're aware of this, but if you don't get your vision when you're small, your brain doesn't do the wiring, so you can have perfectly good eyes and you won't see anything, because your eyes aren't tuned into, or your brain isn't tuned into your eyes. Yeah? Yeah? I know our brains are adaptable, you can't begin to do it, but if you haven't ever seen anything, your brain needs rewiring as well as your eyes. So that's two miracles. There's another one. You should look at next up, please. Next up, please. Right. So, now then, more than meets the eye. What happened was, Jesus had done this amazing miracle for this man on what day, would you think?
Sabbath.
The Sabbath. Now, who gets upset when Jesus does things on the Sabbath? The Pharisees. Right? So, the man's brought before the Pharisees. And they say, what happened? And he said, well, this guy called Jesus, he put some mud on my eye and they told me to go and wash it. I can see now. And they really believe this. They said, are you sure you were born blind? Right? Yeah. You're having his own, aren't you? No. So what they do is they call his parents in. Yes? Call the parents in. And they say to the parents, what about this lad of yours? Was he born blind? Oh yes, absolutely, we're sure he's born blind. Well, how did he get to see? We don't know. Well, they did know, but they were frightened. They were frightened because these religious leaders, they're the authorities, they're going to kick them out of the family church or the synagogue. Yes, and when they're kicked out of the synagogue, they lose their friends and everything. So they're worried. So basically they say, he's old enough, he can talk for himself, you ask him. Yeah? And he can tell you. Right. So they get him in again. And I want to read this to you because this is so wonderful. This guy can see more than he could before he was blind. Right? And it's not just physical. Listen to this. Get the right chapter of thoughts as well. Right. Yes. A second time, this is verse 24. A second time, they summoned the man who'd been born blind. Give God the glory, they said. That's putting him on oath, really. We know this man is a sinner. Why do they know he's a sinner? Because he did something on the Sabbath that they thought was wrong. Yeah. He replied, the blind, ex-blind man, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I can see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?
Yeah.
I think he's getting a bit cheeky, don't you?
Right, yeah.
Then they hurled insults at him and said, you're this fellow's disciple. We're disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. But as for this fellow, we don't know even where he comes from. So they get quite abusive. The man answered. Now listen to what he says. This shows he's being given not just physical sight, a spiritual sight. The man answered, now that is remarkable. I think he's talking to the top brass here. That is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody's ever heard of the eyes of the blind being opened, of a man born blind being opened. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, so he's given them a theology lesson. Yeah? To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Right? What do they say is what the disciples had asked in the first place. Whose fault was it that he was born blind? It was parents or his? And they say, well, the reason you were born blind is because you were a rotten sinner. Right? And Jesus says, that's not true. Yeah, but that's what they throw at him. Yeah, so they chuck him out. Now, the next please, yes. Jesus heard they'd thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me, so that I may believe in him. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Amazing. Yes. Jesus goes and finds him. Yes. He's got a friend in Jesus, even if the rest have chucked him out. Jesus goes and finds him and says, do you believe in the Messiah? That's really what he's saying. Do you believe in the Messiah, the Son of Man? And what's the chap's reply is? Yeah? Well, Jesus, you tell me, I'll believe it. That's really what he's saying, isn't it? Yeah? It's, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Yeah? You tell me, Jesus, I'll believe it. So he says, it's me. I'm the one who's talking to you. I'm the one. And the man says, Lord, yes, I believe you. And he worshipped him. What's happened to this man is he's not just got physical sight, he's been given spiritual light. Understanding, he recognizes the Messiah when he sees him. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
Right, next slide please. Right, so what is it? It's a sign. That's what it is, isn't it?
Yes.
It's a sign. Yes? Right? And the things that Jesus does in John's Gospel, he talks about the miracles. He says, these are signs. What was the opening of the eyes of the blind man meant to say? Yeah? Jesus has come to bring light to the world. It's a physical illustration of a spiritual reality. Right, next thing please. You got that, did you?
Yeah.
Good, not too hard. Fine. Right, so, let me just sum up then what light symbolises when Jesus speaks about it. Light brings joy. There's a light, openness, freedom. Wonderful. Right, so, Jesus is the light of the world. Has he given you any joy lately?
Yeah.
If he hasn't, it's not your fault. It's not his fault.
No.
Right. Next thing please. Light also gives us purpose, direction. Do you know why you're here?
Yeah.
I don't mean here, in here, but, what's your life for? You know, I know we all have our question marks and things, of course, right? But there's a purpose to your life, right? There's a purpose to your life when you're a follower of Jesus. Yeah? He's given you a purpose. He's got something for you to do, right? So his light gives you direction. Next thing, please. Right, and the light also, as we saw about those two illustrations, brings understanding. That's understanding the Bible. I remember before I became a Christian, I read the Bible for my RE classes at school, you know. Mm-hmm. Worst subject at school, that was mine. Yeah. Yeah? Right. Well, I read it. I mean, I read it. I've got eyes. I could see. Yeah, I picked out some good bits as well. I was really impressed by Jesus, you know. He's a good fella. But then I became a Christian and all of a sudden, the light's on. Wow, now I start seeing things I never saw before. So the light is the light of the world, light of the world. Next thing, please. Right. Now then, there's one little phrase in that little passage that we've looked at, that verse, that I think is a wonderful bit. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I'm the light of the world, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness but have the light of life. It's that first bit of the sentence. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, what's he doing? He's not just informing them, I am the light of the world. When he speaks to the people, he's inviting them to come to him, to follow him, to believe in him. Like that man who was blind, yes? So there's an invitation. Jesus spoke again to the people. And, dear friends, this is God's word, and he's speaking to you this morning. Yes? It's a timeless book. It's an amazing book. And he speaks to us, as I said, when he turned the light on, I thought, oh, he's talking to me. He's talking to you. He's inviting you to be a follower, to come to Jesus, to trust him. And, dear friends, when you're invited, what's on the back of the invitation?
RSVP.
Like that chap. He says, tell me who, Lord, and I'll believe. Jesus said, it's me. Right, dear, he said, I believe. And he worshipped him. That's our response to him. We follow him and we worship him. Right, next then, I think this is the last one, is it? Yes, yes. This is lovely, this. I do know the Bible's an amazing book. I've said it's an amazing book. You know, the things that turn up in different places. Over thousands of years the book was written. Yeah, over thousands of years. And yet, it all says the same thing in different ways. It's got the same message running all the way through it. Because it's got the same author behind it. And right at the very last book of the Bible, in the book of Revelation, we see something that ties in with Jesus being the light of the world. Look at this. The city. John has this vision of this heavenly city. The New Jerusalem, as it's called. Yes? The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. So that's right at the end of the New Testament. At the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the very first chapter, it talks about the creation of the world. Yes? And it says, God made the heavens and the earth, and the earth was empty and formless, and you can read the rest of it. And God said, let there be light. Right, so he started the earth turning day and night. Yes, night and day, day and night. And so the earth had its daylight before he made the sun. You read Genesis. The sun doesn't turn up until several days after God started it. Yeah? So what lit the earth when there wasn't a sun? The glory of God. Yes. And take you all the way right from the beginning, right up to the end, when time has ended. This is in when time has stopped. End of the world, new world has begun. What happens in the new world is what happened right at the beginning.
No sun.
No sun, no moon. We don't need them because the glory of God is the light. And who's the lamp?
Jesus.
It's the lamp. And the lamb is Jesus. Yeah, the sacrifice offering. He's the light. So Jesus isn't just the light of this world. He's the light of the next world as well. Isn't that lovely? Praise the Lord. Now, just to say, dear friends, I trust that you've got some understanding, that you've got some joy, you've got some purpose. Yeah. Well, good. Well, let me encourage you. Keep following. Keep on. No electric bills, she says. No electric bills. Isn't that wonderful? Yes. Think of that. Yeah. There's more to life than electric bills, isn't there? Okay. Let's just pray. Thank the Lord. We're going to share bread and wine together to remind us of what Jesus did to make this possible. The light went out so that we could experience it. His new life. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you, he is the light. Lord, thank you, he's entered into my life. Thank you for all the folks here that know you, Lord. And Lord, we bless you that you love us. And that light shows us how much you love us. So we praise you, Lord. And pray you'll help us to see, understand, and follow you. Lord, praise your name. You are who you say you are. And Lord, we've only just begun to discover how great you are. Thank you, Lord. Amen.